Peace and all good from Franciscan Media. I'm Father Jim Sabak, and this is the Inbreaking of the Word. Come to our second week of Advent. So again, time is ticking down. Remember, Advent is the shortest of all of our seasons. Advent needs to have four Sundays. It does not need to have 4 weeks. And so over here, you see I'm in our chapel, and here's our Advent wreath right over here. I saw the candles were misplaced. Again, if you're going to do the Advent wreath business, the third Sunday of Advent is that pink candle. And the reasons for that are kind of complex. It's when Advent becomes too connected with Lent as a penitential season, which Advent, again, is not. We constantly have to reinforce that fact. Advent is not a penitential season. It is one of joyful expectation, period. That is the difference between the two. But the likening of Advent and Lent together, that fourth Sunday of Advent becomes a Sunday for a pink vestment because roses were given to some Roman family that were very influential in the election of the papacy back in the Middle Ages. And because roses were given to them as a sign of their power in this fourth Sunday of Lent, it became known as a pink Sunday. No reason whatsoever. Again, you were moving close to the end of the fasting, yes, but you still had 3 weeks, you know, so yeah, I don't know. So the linking of Advent and Lent, where that was a rose Sunday, the second to the last Sunday of Lent, now becomes a rose Sunday, the second to the last Sunday of Advent. That's about it. It's not like, oh my gosh, we're getting closer to Christmas. We are getting close. We've been close, getting close to Christmas the entire season of Advent because of the joyful expectation that surrounds it. We have to remember that. What happens in our church today is that all we're being seen as is this penitential people who are just miserable or at least on edge or filled with anxiety as to whether or not God loves us or God cares about us. And that's not even Franciscan. I mean, even as Franciscans, you know, embrace, St. Francis embraced a penitential lifestyle, it wasn't one of anxiety. It was one of joy. It was one of peace. It was one of wonder and amazement. I mean, so this whole thing has to be reevaluated and rethought. And hopefully these little reflections are helping us to remember the truth about what Advent is. So many parishes doing penance services during Advent. And why? Because they don't know what else to do in Advent. I mean, there are so many riches of Advent we can begin to mine, you know, looking at our salvation history and how it comes to this point that Christ comes into this world, you know, as one like us through a family that is in many ways like every family that is in existence, a family that is filled with a whole bunch of secrets, a whole bunch of skeletons in the closet, a family that is not pure. It is not meriting. It is not a family of holiness or whatever it is. Jesus's family was filled with a bunch of horrible, terrible people. Most of them kings of Israel and Judah who were horrible, terrible people in the Old Testament. So, you know, so don't go down that road. And what happens to help us recognize the fact is that, again, this Sunday's readings, again, point to wonder and point to beauty, except for the gospel. So before we get to that, Isaiah, that first reading again, in which the gifts of the Holy Spirit are enumerated upon that one who is to come, you know, anointed by God, Christ, who brings with him the gifts, you know, of knowledge and understanding, of fear of the Lord, of awe in the sight of God, of wisdom, you know, again, of patience. All these gifts of the Holy Spirit are placed upon he who is to become the Messiah. And within that, these gifts then add to the recreation of the world, in the way that God desires it. A world which, again, establishes itself on this glorious mountain in which those creatures that exist in antagonism and animosity towards each other all of a sudden become friends, all of a sudden become creatures that show harmony and welfare and care. Even the child plays by the den of the deadly snake. And this child is the one who is going to lead them. Again, all pointing in prophecy to the birth of this Messiah, to the birth of this King of Kings. Positivity. Again, not about God is coming, look busy. God is coming with condemnation and punishment. God is coming, basically make up for all of your sinfulness somehow, some way, so that God will accept you. This is not the God who was proclaimed by Isaiah. This is not the God to whom we ever expect or who we would ever link ourselves to. In the same way, when you look at Romans, the second reading, this God who comes to us doesn't just come to a certain group. He just doesn't come to the Jewish people. He doesn't come to the Israelites. He also does not come to the Christians. This God comes comes for all humanity. This is why this child is born for us. A son is given to us. A savior is given to us. The us is all-embracing. The us is all-encompassing. The us is not particular or exclusive. It never was. So again, the scandal and perhaps, you know, the complexity, you know, of this God who basically comes for everybody, whether or not you want him to, whether or not you're ready for him, whether or not you think you're worthy, get over yourself, because this God is coming to us. And what Romans says is, blessed are you who continue to build up this inclusiveness, who continue to extend your arms or the net or whatever it is that make up us as a church to include as many people as possible, to include as many who need to hear this good news and become a part of this good news and let this good news enter into our lives. But then, as always happens in the gospel, on the second Sunday of Advent and then the third Sunday of Advent, as we move into these weeks, basically we have John the Baptist, him making an appearance. And in the cycle of Matthew that we're in now, John the Baptist's appearance is not all that great. So John the Baptist comes, again, preaching, you know, that something is coming, that a savior is coming, a Messiah is coming, and to get yourself ready, a baptism of repentance. And then basically he is described as clothed in camel's hair and eating locusts and wild honey. He's a crazy, he's a maniac, he's a nutcase. And yet people are flocking to him because he is saying something different and something new. But when people flock to him, like the scribes and the Pharisees, he has nothing but condemnation for them. Who warned you to flee from the coming judgment, he says? You know, be gone, you evildoers. Be gone, you who think that you can move right in because you are not worthy of this. And John is saying all these kinds of things and then talks about what this Messiah is going to do. Separate the wheat from the chaff with his winnowing fame. The wheat gathers into his barn and the chaff he burns with unquenchable fire. Wow. I really want to wait for that Messiah. I want that Messiah to come to us. And yet, with all of John's haranguing, with all of his bluster and his you know, anger and whatever it is towards all of this and his proclamation within this way, remember, this is not the Christ who comes. It is not a Christ who comes to say, you matter and you don't. You're special and you're not. You're my friend and you're not. It's a God basically who comes to bring in the broken, to bring in the lost, to bring in the weary, to bring in the misguided, to bring in those, you know, who have lost their way and need to find their way back home again. Those who resist, yes, you know, they lose out on themselves, but not because God judges them and God punishes them and God condemns them. They condemn themselves. But ours is a God who gathers in. Ours is a God who wants to make whole. And we as a church perhaps need to recognize that. We as a church perhaps need to understand that. We as a church perhaps need to open ourselves and open our hearts and open our arms more to what it is that the Spirit is doing for us. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and right judgment, the Spirit of knowledge and of awe of the Lord, that this Spirit is asking us to be more than we sometimes see ourselves as being in the mirror. And Advent constantly asks us to see the same, to see the more and not be afraid of it, to embrace the more in our lives and let that renew us again and again and again. As we move into this week, it's important to remember that we celebrate the Immaculate Conception on Monday, on December the 8th. And when we come to December the 12th, we celebrate, so the Immaculate Conception was the patroness of the United States, and then Our Lady of Guadalupe, who is the patron of the Americas. So you see both North and South America. Also the patron of this new United States province of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which I am a member of. So these two important celebrations that happened this week, just seek to continue to embrace that sense of a God who makes us whole, a God who wants to unite, a God who wants to claim us as God's own, a God basically who says, I come to be a part of your life just as you have always been a part of mine. Let us take that more seriously this week. And let us see what taking that seriously creates of us as believers in this world. A continued blessed Advent from Franciscan Media, and may the Lord, as always, give you his peace.